You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So hype right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Ooh. This the truth like 34. Yeah. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly.
Woo-wee. Basketball is back, baby! I am excited, for basketball to return Media Day Monday, and we're finally starting to move on from the summer and this dead period of August and September into the beginning of actual basketball. I am John Corrales. I cover the team for MassLive.com. You can follow me on Twitter at RedsArmy_John. While you are listening to this podcast, I and Tom Westerholm, my partner on MassLive.com, will be at Media Day. And then for the Tuesday podcast, we'll start to bring you some of the Media Day talk, whatever interesting happens there. Last week, Tom and I got together to talk about our five-part series on MassLive.com. I dropped a little Boston accent there. I thought I'd eradicated that for a while. Five-part series on the Celtics summer decisions. We got through which center would start, the extensions for Jalen and Jason, and some potential trade talk. If you missed that, go check out the Friday show. That was part one of the conversation. Now I'm going to take the second half of that conversation. So if some of this isn't quite as seamless, if there are some references to today or whatever, and it doesn't quite sound right, it's because we recorded this a few days ago, and this is the second part of the conversation. It worked out nicely that it was a long conversation because there was nothing really to talk about on the Monday show. So this conversation kind of spilled into the Monday show. Like I said, the Tuesday show will be Media Day related, and then after that, practices. They're going to practice, and then next week there's a preseason game. Huh! I'm so happy to have it back. Oh, man, I am so tired of talking about things we think will happen because inevitably we're going to be wrong about a few of these things. That's just how it goes. In theory, certain things you think are going to happen. In practice, different things happen. So I'm excited to move forward. But like I said, here is the continuation of our conversation, me and Tom Westerholm, both of MassLive.com. Go check us out on MassLive.com/Celtics. And here's the remainder of that conversation. We wrote about Taco Fall because everybody writes about Taco Fall. And the question is
about... The man is extremely available these days.
He is. He's everywhere, man. You just saw him learning how to swim. And he's... So I've said before on this podcast, and I'm sure other people have said it too, it'd be really crappy to have him out there doing all these events this summer, being a part of this community, and then all of a sudden not make the team. But there's a strong possibility that he does not make this team. They've already got four centers, and we're talking about trying to jam one of those guys in at the expense of the other. Now you're throwing a fifth guy in there. I really am... Depending on which way the wind's blowing is how confident I am in Taco Fall making this roster.
Yeah, I mean, you and I have had this conversation quite a bit. It's tough, man. I mean, some of these, because when you start to look at the landscape, like obviously, so they've used both their two-way slots already, and that really complicates things because I think the Celtics probably like both of the guys that they have on their two-way slots quite a bit. Tremont Waters looks great in summer league. You know, he's obviously solid player. Max Strus is interesting just because he can really shoot the ball, and I think there's a lot of reason to believe that he'll be able to shoot off the catch, take maybe shoot off the dribble, shoot off screens, all that stuff. Like those are intriguing guys, but I don't think either of them is ready probably for the 15-man roster. I think the two-way is right for both of them, because then you can get a sense of them in Maine. You can let them play a little bit on the big league club. Like, you know, that they make sense in the two-way roles. So I feel like – and I mean, when it was like, is Taco going to get that 15th, like, guaranteed roster spot? Because you're rolling some dice there too. Like, you know, you're going to – if you put him in there and somebody comes on the buyout market that you want, then you're going to have to let somebody go. And maybe that somebody is Taco. Like – it gets real complicated, you know, pretty much no matter which way you slice it. I lean toward, I think he's going to be on the team. I think, you know, it's the PR department setting up all this stuff for him this summer. You know, they're separate from the basketball operations. Like, it's not like, you know, right. It's not like Danny Ainge is saying like, oh, let's have Taco go run this. But I do think that there would be some message from, you know, a higher up saying like, eh, let's chill. Let's cool it a little bit on Taco. If he wasn't going to make right. the team, I think he's probably going to make the team. But I don't, I mean, it's tough. Like, it's, if he makes the team, like, it's going to have implications one way or the other, which is kind of fascinating for a guy who, like, probably won't play this season much, if at all.
Yeah, I would say, it's, I don't understand. Let me rephrase this. Because I feel like the Celtics might have jumped the gun a little bit with their two-way deals. And I wonder if they had to do it over, they would have said, well, wait a minute, maybe we shouldn't be signing all of these two-way contracts just yet.
Yeah.
Let's get into camp and kind of let's suss this all out.
Let's stress this all out.
Oh, bad. That's bad.
I know. But, I apologize for nothing.
But you're right. You're right. I think if there wasn't a real chance at him making the roster, that somebody in the front office would have been like, let's have somebody else learn how to swim.
Yeah.
let's get Grant Williams out there and teaching kids how to swim. You know, like these guys, I mean, most of these guys are around. And yeah. Look, and I understand that Taco's a big selling point. And like, when he's out there, everybody wants to go see it and people respond. But it's not going to cost the Celtics much to give him a look. I mean, it's $900,000 to give him a rookie minimum deal. And you give him one of those deals that probably pays him, you know, it's. Well, the two-way deal is what, $250,000? So he would, congratulations, you get a nice little bump in pay.
Yeah, I think it's $350 if you play the requisite number of games. But yeah. Either way.
So I think it's not a matter of it being expensive or anything like that to give Taco a look. And if you sign him to the minimum deal, like one of those non-guarantee second year, third year things. So, you know, you can kind of take an extended look at him.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. If it's not working, like by the time the buyout market comes, you'll know if Taco's working out or not. And at that point, you can make your decision. So I don't know. We always have these decisions about like the 15th roster spot. Like it's like some big, grand, horrible. It's like, oh my God, how are they going to make this decision? It like Taco is fine. I don't know what his ceiling is going to be. I keep saying Boban. I think that's kind of where it's going to be. Big guys like that, they're never going to move as fluidly as everybody else. There's always going to be like something slower about them. But he's so unique in being 7.5 feet tall that you kind of have to give him a look. So I keep saying they'll upgrade one of the other guys, you know, Strus or Waters, just to give them a little bit more, and then you give Taco the two-way deal. So you're not, because why give a guaranteed spot to a guy at a position that you're definitely not going to need? You've got four other centers on the roster. Give the guaranteed spot to like Tremont Waters, who, hey, you never know if something goes wrong and Kemba goes down or Marcus Smart goes down. You need a ball handler, and at least you know that he's got a great feel for the game, and you're not going to burn a maximum number of two-way games that he has. There's only a certain number of games. Hey, Raffy, there's only a certain number of two-way games that you can play, right? You can only, once you've hit that max, like, you're done. So you got to go. I'd rather just upgrade Tremont Waters and give Taco the two-way and just have that be his, try him out for a year. If it doesn't work, then it was fun. Somebody else will give him a shot.
Yeah. No, I think that makes sense. And I think it was funny. Like, I think you might be right that the Celtics jumped the gun a little bit on the two ways. And it's funny because, like, right after the draft, I mean, I'm sure all these guys have, I think they have offers elsewhere. And I think the agents probably have quite a bit of bargaining power right after the draft because, you know, guys who went undrafted are getting snapped up left and right. So you have to make a move quickly, you feel like. So, it's going to be interesting to watch. And I think generally we agree pretty closely on Taco and his roster chances and his future. I think, you know, it's basically he's going to have to prove quite a bit to have a long NBA career, but it'll be interesting to watch.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Taco is one rookie that's trying to earn minutes, but there are other rookies on this team, and our Friday piece was on the rookies that are going to try to earn those minutes. We have Grant Williams, Carson Edwards, Tremont Waters, and Romeo Langford, who people I don't think talk about very much because we haven't seen him. We didn't see him at Summer League. He's out there. Like, you haven't heard anything about him. He doesn't make summer appearances. They are just keeping Romeo away. I'm really interested, and you definitely know more about Romeo than I do. I feel like he might have the highest ceiling of all of these guys, but for the first season, he might play the least because in the NBA, because trying to retool a guy's jump shot, I think he needs consequence-free basketball and G League basketball to go work on his shot so they can tinker. And if he shoots 2 for 12, it's not a huge deal because he's doing it in Maine. Sorry, people who want the Red Claws to win. But going out there and working on that and breaking down the film and then getting a call from Brad and the coaches and say, no, work on this. Put your hand here. Do like, I think that's, at least at the beginning, a better use of Romeo Langford's time. Maybe in 3 years, Romeo Langford will be far ahead of these guys. I think right now he's probably going to play the least NBA minutes this season.
Yeah, I think that's possible. So the thing about Romeo that I think is getting a little bit undersold in a lot of ways is just like his skill set is really kind of intriguing on this team specifically, because basically what he is a guy like he's one of the best slashers in the draft. You know, he gets to the rim. He's really just incredible as a finisher. And he gets the line a lot because he's very aggressive with the way that he goes at the rim. You know, he doesn't really settle for floaters. He goes, you know, seeking out the contact and, you know, really does a nice job of getting himself to the rim. So, and I mean, honestly, he did okay as a facilitator. I wouldn't say that he's, you know, you know, he's not the greatest passer of all time by any means, but he's certainly competent on that end of the floor or in that aspect of the game, I should say. So, you know, he would bring something kind of intriguing to this team, you know, as a guy who is 6'6" and who, you know, handles the ball really well and who gets to the rim and gets free throws. In a lot of ways, he's sort of, you know, he's the same size as Jaylen, but he's sort of a little bit of an opposite of Jaylen, whereas, you know, Jaylen's more of a spot up guy who struggles with his feel for the game. You know, Romeo struggles with his jump shot, but he's got actually a really good feel for the game, especially offensively. So I'm fascinated by him, too. I think he's a really interesting player. He's an interesting kid. He's really quiet. He's pretty quiet around his teammates, but they all seem to really like him. The people who know him, especially, you know, Carson and Grant. you know, have got nothing but good things to say about him, but they think he's kind of odd too, from what I've been, but in a really positive, you know, kind of loving kind of way. I think they really like him. So, I mean, he's interesting. He's such a young kid. There's so many different ways that his career could go, but I tend to think that he's probably going to get a little more burn with the Celtics than sort of the conventional wisdom says, just because the conventional wisdom looks at that summer league team and says, I mean, like, Carson's good. Like, he needs minutes. Like, Tremont played well. Grant, I mean, was plus 85 for summer league. Like, these guys should get minutes. But I do think Romeo's a little bit better, than people are kind of giving him credit for, because nobody's seen him, and that's completely understandable. But you know, he's good. He's a good player. There's a reason they drafted him 14th. And, you know, the jumper might need some work, but, you know, he can get jumpers. You know, he can get work on his. I mean, how many times did we walk into the practice facility and see Shemmy just, you know, hoisting threes for hours and hours? Like, it's possible to do that within an NBA season. So I kind of think he'll be around. I think he'll get some more minutes than people think. And, you know, I think he'll be somewhat productive as a rookie.
I hope so. I mean, obviously, we hope that all of these guys have success, and they're going to need at least a couple of these guys, I think.
Yeah.
To be contributors, because they're going to need to capitalize on some of this depth. Like, that's where this team is a little bit lacking. They've lost a bunch of guys and most of these guys are replaced by rookies. So if they can get a slashing wing who knows how to get to the rim and knows how to draw free throws, if they can get him in there and he is effective regardless of where his jumper is, then sure, that'd be fantastic. You can tell, like, because this isn't a championship contender. I know we'd already talked about, like, you gotta at least approach it like you're going for a run to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the luxury of not looking that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I talk a lot about sending these guys to the G League, because I want them to refine these skills. Going back to the earlier Robert Williams conversation, similar thing. I want him to refine skills to get those habits down. When it's something like repetition to build a habit, like when you're retooling a jump shot a little bit, I love the use of the G League for that, because it's game speed. And you and I know from having played basketball, it's one thing to sit there in an empty gym and no pressure and think about, like, okay, my hand goes here and I shoot there. But when all of a sudden you've got a bunch of guys that are trying like hell to make it to the NBA, and they see you as a high profile guy, that you're going to get some real attention defensively in the G League. You want to make sure you're not falling back on old habits. And if you can refine those things that you're trying to build in those pressure situations without the added consequence of, well, I just cost the Celtics a game.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard enough to have, like, in your own head, geez, I shot 2 for 12. Then you add to it that you cost an NBA team an NBA game. That's just a layer that I want stripped away. So, but it's not, I can see both sides of it. Like, I can totally see, like, Brad would probably sit there and tell me, like, no, I want him here. I want to see him, and we'll deal with, you know, it's, we look at these confidence discussions like these guys are in a vacuum, but when I'm sure Brad and the coaches would be very encouraging to kind of keep his confidence up. So
definitely. And I think one thing, just to quickly add to that, I think probably where the disconnect for you and me in evaluating this is, I think that Romeo is going to, I think that he could contribute to winning this year. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think it's just a matter. This isn't like the Robert Williams discussion where it's like, well, if he messes everything up, you know, like, who cares? Cause they're not contenders. I think Romeo can help them win, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously he's not going to be, like, you know, a superstar as a rookie, but I think that he could be a productive member of the bench, like, this season. And I think he could help them. So at that point, you know, you are taking some lumps because he's a rookie, but you're not necessarily just saying, like, the only reason he's here is to get reps. You're also saying he's getting some reps, and I think he would contribute to winning, you know, a little bit as a rookie. So that's kind of where I would come down on that.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
We already talked a little bit about Tremont Waters. I don't think Tremont Waters, unless you have a different opinion, I don't think he gets much burn. Even if he's upgraded. Now, we do have the possibility. I mean, we talk about Marcus Smart, just to throw this out there. Now, Marcus Smart played 80 games last year for the first time in his career. He did have a 79-game season, but the season prior to that, 54 games. His first two seasons, 67, 61. So he will miss time, you would expect, especially the way he plays. So yeah. I will just throw the caveat that if Marcus Smart is doing Marcus Smart things and he dives for a ball and he tears a thing in his thumb and he's out for 2 months, then there, knock on wood, I'm not jinxing him. But at that point, Tremont Waters could get some burn. But aside from that, I think that do we agree that Tremont is mostly G League?
Yeah, and especially I think the Celtics are probably going to want to give Brad Wanamaker like a little bit of a shot. That's guy is like back after playing.
I feel so bad. I keep forgetting
20 combined minutes last year. Yeah.
Yeah. So that leaves the Romeo Langford, Grant Williams, Carson Edwards trio. So back to my original question: of those three, if you had to rank in terms of rookie minutes this season, how would you rank them 1, 2, 3?
It's a good question. I think I would probably go Grant 1, because I think that they're going to be able to find some uses for him, in terms of being a big man, maybe being a small ball 5 in certain lineups. They tried some of that at Summer League with having him be a sort of a 5-out center, stretching the floor a little bit. And then it's tough to say. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Carson and Romeo are real close in minutes.
Yeah.
You know, maybe both kind of hovering around that 10 to 15 mark, and then if one of them sort of separates himself a little bit, in the early part of the season, then maybe he gets, elevated a little bit. But I think they're both going to get chances. I mean, Carson's going to be able to come in and get buckets. He's going to come in and like space the floor. I think Romeo is going to come in and, be a guy who does kind of collapse the floor and gets the rim a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, I think that it's I think they'll both be pretty close. I wouldn't be surprised if Grant gets a little more just because of opportunity and, the fact that he did play 3 years in college. Like he is a little bit more seasoned. Than Romeo, at least, Carson did too. But yeah, I that would be probably my order is Grant 1, and then maybe as much of a cop out as this is, probably a tie for 2-3 with those two, just because, I think they're both going to have chances to prove it. And then I think they're going to have to go about it.
Get off the fence, Westerholm. Make a call, make a decision. Damn it.
All right. Well, just to stick to my guns here, then we'll go Grant. I'll say Grant 1, Romeo 2. Carson 3, but I think it'll be real close between Carson and Romeo.
I think you're an idiot. No, that was me trying to do a radio thing. No,
you nailed it.
I agree. Grant Williams will be, I think, more in line to get the minutes. I think Carson will get more than Romeo because I just believe that he's a more plug and play kind of guy.
Like, yeah.
It's he's going to give the effort defensively. He's gonna go where he's being asked to go and do what he's being asked to do defensively, and then he'll just shoot. And I don't think he cares whether he's shooting in an empty gym or if he's shooting in the biggest arena in the world. Like he just shoots and hits shots. Like that's he's a bucket getter. So I think Carson's probably gonna be at least he'll have the most opportunity at first just because. You're going to need a guy to come in and space the floor, and he's going to be able to do that. And I'll just reiterate my desire for Grant Williams to elevate to a position where I think in a perfect world, he could be even a starter on this team. Now, not right away, but I think at some point he could be a starter on this team because of his ability to do everything and his willingness to do everything and not look for a shot.
Yeah. No, I think that's probably right. It's going to be really interesting. Do you think that he's a starting 4 or a starting 5 down the line? Because I think he's probably too short to be a starting 4, right? Or a starting 5, right?
Yeah. I have him as a 4.
Okay. Because the thing is, he's kind of a traditional 4 in terms of being – you know, 6'7", and you know, just kind of the way that he plays, like he's a little bit more traditional than a lot of the fours in sort of the modern game. So it would be kind of interesting to see. And obviously, you know, they're working on getting him to space the floor, and that would be a big help. But yeah, I mean, I think he's so strong. Like, it's not going to be easy. You know, obviously, like a Joel Embiid could probably shoot right over him, but you know, it's, I mean, a guy like Rudy Gobert, not going to be able to bully him, you know, in his rim runs. I don't know. It'll be interesting to watch. I'm very curious to see how his career goes.
I am too. I'm fascinated by the kid. If he can come out and hit threes like immediately, then that makes him a very intriguing possibility. Basically, once Grant Williams can consistently hit like 35% from three, then I think he becomes extraordinarily valuable to this team, because he'll do all those other things that the team needs him to do, and he'll just space the floor and stand in corners and be a guy that you can't leave. And if you can't leave Grant Williams, then the whole calculus of the Celtics offense changes, because then you don't really need Cantor or whomever is rolling to pop out. You don't need an Al Horford type. You just need a guy that can pop a little bit and be a threat from 15 to 18 feet. And now Kemba's got all sorts of space, and Jason Tatum's got all sorts of space, and it really, really helps out. Who do you think ends up getting more minutes this season, Grant Williams or Semi Ojeleye?
I think it's probably Grant. You know, and I like Semi. You know, he's a good dude. He's also like a good player. You know, or at least he's got the potential to be a good player. I just think it's Grant. I mean, I think, you know, the Celtics are only going to play the Bucks three times during the regular season. So, yeah, I mean, I just think there, for one thing, my bold prediction with Grant Williams is that I think his 3-point percentage is going to be 36 this year. I think he's going to be pretty good shooting right away. And I think he's going to only take smart threes right away, because I think he's going to want to, you know, sort of work himself into the system. And if he takes smart threes, I think he's going to hit them. So my prediction is that as a rookie, he's going to shoot 36%, which I, like you were saying, would make him very valuable and would keep him on the floor a lot.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably the case. And I mean, like, we'll see what Semi worked on this summer. I mean, every time he talks about like mobility, and that's such a big thing with him because he's so strong and so ripped. Like, he's going to need to be able to move, you know, move in ways that a wing can move, you know, to really maximize himself, because he's not quite tall enough to be a regular small ball five. So, yeah, I mean, I'll go with Grant. I'm not super comfortable with it, because I also think that Brad kind of wants to see what Semi can be. I think he does kind of believe in Semi and like Semi. So, you know, he might want to give the veteran a little more opportunity, but you know, I also think that these rookies have given the Celtics a lot of reason to believe in them. And I wouldn't be surprised if they demonstrate that belief with some real playing time.
Yeah, that's, I think, when we come into this season and practice starts Tuesday.
Good Lord.
First of all, I'm excited to have something to talk about. How a practice went. Like, let's start with that. And then when preseason starts an actual game. Oh my God. I'm salivating at the thought of like analyzing an actual game with these guys.
Real film.
Yeah.
You can imagine.
And really put all of this theoretical stuff, because we're both high on Grant Williams, and I want to see, like, what I saw in Summer League was very, very encouraging. Not just because he had success, but the type of success, the smart things that he did. And why I asked this Semi Ojeleye question is I also kind of lean Grant, and I want to know if I'm overreacting, but I also think that Grant has a better feel for the game just overall. Like, he can get in, he knows angles and rebounding, he understands the pick setting, he understands I feel like Semi just doesn't get it at that same level. Shemmy's got a great 3-and-D kind of future ahead of him, I think. I really do think that shot will start to fall for him. but I don't know that his ceiling is any more than 3-and-D, where Grant may not be like a tremendous scorer for his entire career, even though he was a good scorer in college. But I just think he can have a long career doing a lot of those things, like as a guy that's, I don't want to, not Marcus Smart because of Marcus Smart, the things that he does, but like because Marcus Smart does a lot of the stuff that other people won't do. Like that's mm-hmm. the type of, like Grant's just going to be able, I think, over the course of his career, just to do so much on the floor that he might just have like 8 points, 10 rebounds, you know, set 5 screens that lead to layups and guard the other team's best forward. Like that is the type of career I think that he can potentially have. So,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to it all to see what he does. With the admission that I may be overreacting to Grant.
Well, no, I mean, I don't think you are because at least, you know, I mean, and maybe it won't all pan out the way that you're saying, but I don't think you're overreacting by saying that all of that is possible because, I mean, look, the thing about Grant is that, like, yes, he's got all these nice little basketball skills, but the reason he's good is because he's got an insanely high basketball IQ. Like, he's got a phenomenal, phenomenal feel for the game. And that was, I mean, that's the reason he was a lottery pick. Like, you know, yes, he can shoot. Yes, he's strong. Yes, he, you know, had like nice moments in college. But the reason that he was so good in college is because he has that high basketball IQ. And I, you know, it's just hard to see that not translating. So I honestly, you know, whether or not it like totally works out for him, I don't think your analysis is overreacting at all. Like he's really, really smart. And I think that's going to bear itself out.
So that's it. Those are our 5 pieces on MassLive.com, the Boston Celtics summer decisions. Go check those out. MassLive.com/Celtics. Tom is on Twitter at Tom_NBA. If you don't know me, I'm Reds_Army_John. Basketball is back. It's back. Media day, Monday. Practices start Tuesday. Preseason is around the corner. Thank you all for bearing with us throughout the summer, through this little change that the podcast has gone through. If you are a new listener, please subscribe wherever podcasts exist, however you found this podcast. If you're a regular listener, give us that 5-star rating and a good review. Share the podcast. Tell everybody they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.